Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. Along with David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us. We thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And Sam Rohr is on a very important assignment today, Dave Kistler. You know that?
You know what, Gary, he is, and I don't know if we should let that out or not. I mean, is this classified information?
It might be classified information.
Since that's going to be part of our topic today is classified information and the violation thereof, then maybe we should not reveal this.
Yeah. He will be back with us on Friday, and so if he wants to reveal that classified information, we'll give him the opportunity to do so. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot going on in the program today because during the second and third segment, we are going to be having Ed Stevens on with us, who is a policeman. He's going to be talking about some of the things that are taking place out in Ferguson, Illinois, and so you'll not want to miss those segments. But you don't want to miss this segment either. As most of you know by now, last night Hillary Clinton turned over her server to the Inspector General of the Department of Justice. And, of course, you know, she's been saying all along that there is no classified material on her server. But it appears as though there has been. It appears as though she's been lying to us. And so today in the program, we have with us Jim O'Brien. Jim has been on the program before. As a matter of fact, he was on with us last Friday. He is the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. And, you know, he just understands this whole concept of national security. We have him with us today just for the first segment. Jim, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today.
Yeah, it's good to be back with you.
And, you know, we only have you for 8 or 9 minutes, and so I really almost just want to let you run loose here. But the question is, how serious is Hillary's action of using her private server to discuss classified information? This, to me, seems to be extremely serious.
Well, Gary, it's even a violation, even if she had no classified information at all on her server, because the rules state that you must have a government-controlled server in order to handle all of your information. And so she decided she was going to have her own, and as a result of that, she's in violation regardless of the fact that whether it's classified or not. But beyond that point, let me just share quickly what the levels of classification are that you could possibly have on a document or information in general. One is unclassified, obviously, which is self-explanatory. But then you have what we call confidential, which is something that requires that you put it in a safe, and it can cause some harm. The definition is some harm to national security. And then you have secret, is defined as causing serious harm to national security. And then there's top secret, which they said that 10% of the 40 emails that were found in the sampling of her server were top secret, and the definition of that can cause grave damage to national security. So anyway, it's very, very, very serious. So I don't know how to say it any clearer than that, is that she, I think, is in a heap of trouble. Now, the problem I have right now is that it's being turned over to the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice is part of the same government that she worked for. And as a result of that, I'm wondering whether there's going to be really an objective assessment of her violations. She could be the punishment for violating security, especially when it comes to secret and especially top secret, is imprisonment or serious fines and also losing the clearance that you currently hold. So the ramifications of this are huge. And I think it's particularly interesting that it's happening just almost on the anniversary of the revelations of the Watergate situation, where Nixon was accused of having his, what they call the plumbers, get into the Watergate hotel to try to find out if there was some plans being made by the Democrats that, you know, what their plans were for winning the election. So it was more of a domestic kind of thing. It wasn't national security. It was sort of trying to win the election, which is nowhere near as serious, obviously, as having top secret information. Like, for example, what I've heard are things like geospatial information about various people that are being tracked by satellite, things of that sort. That's extremely serious because it could not only tell the enemy what we are interested in, what we're concerned about, but also reveal our agents overseas.
Jim, let me ask you this. Obviously, you know, your concern about this being turned over to the DOJ is the same concern that Gary and I would have, because you've got the proverbial fox guarding the hen house. And up to this point, we've seen the Department of Justice under the Obama administration not really be willing to prosecute anything that needs to be prosecuted and then go after things really that are not worthy of their attention. But Jim, I want to ask you this. Is this, is even the accusation, whether anything's proven or not, the fact that she used an email server that was not a government server, is that in and of itself, much less the fact that something way more serious may come out here, is that a disqualifier, in your opinion, from her being president of the United States? And then I want to ask a very quick follow-up, and that is this, all of this information coming out now, is it possible that this is coming from the Obama administration? That is, they're trying to sabotage her candidacy for president because of the overt and very obvious dislike between the Obamas and the Clintons?
Well, it's the tension between those two families is very well known. But I'm not sure whether the hatred is, if you want to call it that, is that strong as to see the maybe the Democratic Party lose the next election, you know. But, of course, Bernie Sanders, I think, has much closer ties in his political stance than the Clintons. So it could be that he's trying to cause damage because he likes to see Bernie Sanders as the candidate from the Democratic Party rather than Hillary Clinton, who's mild compared to Bernie Sanders.
But, you know, today's question there, Jim, do you think that this disqualifies her from being the president of the United States?
Well, I think so, but I certainly don't want to prejudge call her guilty before, you know, proven. But it seems to me all the evidence I've heard is that she is guilty, and that and the crime that she's committed, or crimes that she's committed, are prosecutable, and therefore I think that she should withdraw from the race and could even face criminal penalties.
You know, I've been saying all along that I believe that by the end of this year, she will not be in the race. I have just sort of said in gist that she might even be in jail. But that, I guess, is a great possibility based upon what you said earlier in the program.
Yeah, I don't think that she'll get jail time if it's just left in the Department of Justice, because it's sort of incestuous, if you will. They tend to protect their own, and they went after David Petraeus because he's really not part of the same party, if you will. And as a result, he paid the penalty, and he lost. But what Hillary did is nowhere near as trivial as what David Petraeus did when you think of her.
Well, Jim O'Brien, we are delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for being with us. Of course, our time is up for this segment. Maybe we can have you back in the future to talk a little bit more about the situation with Hillary Clinton. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We've got Ed Stevens with us coming back after the break.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com. www.newyorktimes.com.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. Did you know this song, America the Beautiful, was so popular in the 1920s that it almost became our national anthem? It was written by Catherine Lee Bates, who was born this day, August 12, 1859. An American poet and educator, she was the daughter of a Congregational minister, taught high school, and then became professor of English literature at Wellesley College. In 1892, she journeyed to the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado and was so inspired by the view, she penned the verse, America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Andrew Jackson once said, as long as our government is administered for the good of the people and is regulated by their will, as long as it secures to us the rights of persons and of property, liberty and conscience, and of the press, it will be worth defending.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is off today and tomorrow, and, you know, there's so much to talk about today that, well, sometimes I think, Dave, it'd be great to have about a 10-hour radio program. We might be able to touch the tip of the iceberg. But, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to encourage you, please, if you would, if you want to go to our new Stand in the Gap radio website. It's simply www.standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. And there you can learn more about this program as well as the two other programs that we produce here at the American Pastors Network. You can see some information there on Sam and Dave and myself. And, you know, if you happen to be away from the radio and cannot listen to us over the air, why, you can even listen to us there at standinthegapradio.com. And, of course, we would encourage you to do that. Well, not only do we have news breaking about Hillary Clinton that I personally believe, Dave, is going to take her out of the race. I really believe, you know, we were talking about with Jim O'Brien the legalities of this. But from the moral perspective, I think this shows that she's not trustworthy. She's not qualified to be the president of the United States. To me, it shows that she's a crook. And I think that in time, you know, national opinion will turn against her unless people in this nation are so spiritually depraved and morally corrupted that they don't even consider it. But I think that this, of course, is going to put her under, my own personal opinion. But we want to shift gears a little bit and go to what's going on out in Ferguson, Illinois, as this thing is building up again. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, Dave, if you would, please.
Well, Gary, I would be delighted to. And let me say this before I introduce Ed. I agree with you 100%. However, we're talking about one word that's made all the difference as far as someone being criminally prosecuted. And that one word is the name Clinton. Mm. The Clintons have committed things, Gary, over past decades that are by far worthy of prosecution. And yet they have escaped it. It's like they're dressed in Teflon and they can't be touched. However, maybe the Clintons' chickens are coming home to roost, to borrow a phrase. And she's going to have to face the music on this. And I hope she does, because as Jim said, it's more than obvious she is guilty of things that are certainly jeopardizing national security, criminal in their impact. And so I think this is going to be something that not only she's going to have to face some music on criminally, but I think it's going to eliminate her from being the nominee on the Democratic side. The question is, who's going to take her place? I don't think Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley are going to be the ones that take her place. It remains to be seen who they put up. But anyway, all that said.
Well, this could be. Let me just throw this in here, that this could perhaps be the key point for Joe Biden to consider. You know, he may jump
Gary,
at this point.
You're exactly right, Gary. I couldn't agree with you more. This may be the springboard that causes Joe Biden to be able to enter the race. However, without going into it in more detail now, I think there could be another individual that may come out of the shadows, so to speak. And I think you, Gary, know where I'm going with that. But that's a topic for another day. Right now, let's introduce Ed Stevens. Ed is a dear friend of mine. I've known Ed personally for probably, I'm guessing, 18 years. He is a dear friend. Most recently, Ed and I spent 12 days together along with our wonderful wives in the country of Israel, which was a phenomenal time. But Ed is involved in South Florida law enforcement, has been for well over two decades, and is really a scholar and an expert when it comes to these things that we're going to discuss today. So, Ed, my friend, so great to have you again on Standing the Gap today.
Thank you, Brother Dave. Glad to be with you.
Well, we've got a lot to discuss, so we're going to jump right into it. Ed, you've been watching what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri over the last several nights. Last night was a little more calm. The two nights before that, things got a little bit more rowdy and out of hand. But I want to ask you this question. Based on what we're seeing happen in Ferguson on the one-year anniversary of the shooting of Michael Brown, is this the new normal across America? And what I mean by that, is this what we can expect every time there is either a shooting in a minority community, or we approach the anniversary of a shooting like that? Is this kind of violence going to be the new norm in America?
I'm afraid it is, because there's a political machinery behind the whole thing that pushes the issue to the forefront and keeps fomenting discontent in the minority communities. We've discussed this at length. We know that the hands up, don't shoot never happened. That's a complete lie, and yet that lie is continually repeated and repeated and repeated, and until people begin to believe it.
And you know, Ed, I don't want to jump in here and cut you off, but I don't know if you've been watching the news reports on this, but even on CNN last night, there was an interview with an eyewitness of what happened several nights ago in Ferguson, where this young man was firing at the police, and they in turn fired back at him, and now he is in critical condition. A young black man came on CNN and said, look, this young man was firing at the police. He was firing at the police. And yet still they are wanting to advance, those that are trying to stir everything up in Ferguson are wanting to advance this scenario that it's police going after minorities, when that's not the case at all.
Not at all. I mean, the argument that police, or especially white officers are going out there looking to shoot black men is just absolutely beyond ridiculous. It's completely unjustified. There's no data to back that up that anybody can produce from anywhere. It's a sad commentary on where we're at as a society, and it's a good thing that both in the Michael Brown shooting, there were a number of witnesses, eyewitnesses, also African Americans, that provided accurate testimony on what actually happened. And, you know, I've said it before on your program, Michael Brown got Michael Brown killed when he was close to knocking out a police officer and going for that officer's gun. He gave the officer no recourse other than to apply deadly force to save his own life. And it's a real shame, Dave, because so much has spun off of that. You know, the Department of Justice under Eric Holder has inserted itself into the law enforcement community there in Missouri and in the Ferguson and St. Louis suburban area. And I would encourage your listeners to go to DOJ.gov and download the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division report on the investigation of the Ferguson Police Department. And you're only going to need to get to the table of contents, page one after the cover page, and it's going to tell you exactly where that whole thing went to. And under the table of contents, it begins with Ferguson law enforcement practices violate the law and undermine community trust, especially among African Americans. Now, this is supposed to be a neutral government Department of Justice report analyzing what the problems in Ferguson were. And from a completely justified police shooting by an officer who was in grave danger, being attacked by a very large subject who had just committed a forcible felony, a strong-arm robbery, and then was assaulting him. From that shooting comes this report.
Wow. Hey, Ed, I know we've got a minute here until we have to, or 2 minutes till we have to move into the break at the bottom of the hour. I know Gary's got a question burning a hole in his heart. Let me ask one last one, then we're going to go to Gary. Every leftist pundit and commentator I've listened to in the last several days have said things like this. It's insensitive to demean the phrase, quote unquote, Black Lives Matter, or to create equivalence by using the phrase White Lives Matter, as in the case with Martin O'Malley. He actually said all lives matter, and he got a significant kickback. And the reason pundits are saying not using Black Lives Matter or creating equivalence by using the phrase White Lives Matter, all lives matter, ignores the disproportionate killing of black men. Now, I want to ask you something, Ed. Is it not true that there is a disproportionate amount of violence? Violent crime in these minority black communities, hence there are more shootings that occur because there's a disproportionate amount of crime coming from those communities. Would that be an accurate statement?
That would be accurate, and most of the black men are shot by black men. The stats also prove nationwide that far more white people are shot or killed by police officers in violent encounters than are black men. So they're conflating the statistics. And they're just continuing a false narrative and a completely dishonest argument that, you know, police are out there killing a disproportionate number of black men. And then on top of that, this whole argument of mass incarceration is unjustified and has to be ended. Well, that mass incarceration is the result of violent crime being brought down steadily over the last 20 years until this year.
Well, Ed, you know, it's very serious with what's going on out there. And here at the American Pastors Network, we are very concerned for you and others who are in the law enforcement. And, of course, we encourage people to be praying for folks like you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, Ed's going to continue to be with us, but we're going to shift gears a little bit. Ed has been involved with drug enforcement over the years. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at the border. Ed's got some insight for us on that. So you won't want to go away. Stay tuned. We'll be back for more right after this on Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
everlasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. Touring the site of a massive wastewater spill in Colorado's Animas River, the attorneys general from Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah, who are also exploring legal options.
None of them pleased with the lag time it took for the head of the EPA to get on the ground, which is happening today. The big question for them, how to make the federal government fully accountable for the disaster it has created.
Fox's Alicia Acuna, the spill of 3 million gallons from the abandoned Gold King mine was accidentally caused by the EPA a week ago. Criminal charges could be pursued against the police officer in Arlington, Texas, who shot and killed an unarmed teenager. Officer Brad Miller has been fired.
We are told that this case will be forwarded to the district attorney and a grand jury will ultimately decide if the officer will be indicted.
Fox's Casey Stiegel in Arlington. Fox News, we report, you decide.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Coming up this week on Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
If you're like me, you might be somewhat disappointed in a political system that sends a message to our teens that the use of marijuana is okay. It's not. Now is the opportunity to help your child understand. Be a voice of reason amidst their confusing culture.
And there's more when you join Mark Gregston for the next edition of Parenting Today's Teens.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is off today, and we are talking about a whole lot of good stuff here today as it relates to what's going on in society. Now, I'm not saying that good stuff is going on in society. We're just giving you good information on the things that are taking place in society, particularly as it relates to the Hillary Clinton matter, as well as in the last segment we were talking about the Michael Brown situation and what's going on out in Ferguson. And we're going to talk a little bit in just a moment about border issues. But I do want to encourage you folks to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website from time to time. It's www.standinthegapradio.com. And the reason why I encourage that is because at that particular website, there is the opportunity for you to communicate with us. And as you communicate with us, we will be happy to return that communication. So that's www.standinthegapradio.com. Well, again, Ed Stevens is with us, and not only is he an excellent law enforcement officer per se, but Ed also has on his resume the fact that he's involved with drug enforcement. And Ed, as we go into this next segment, if you would please, just briefly explain your participation in drug enforcement down through the years.
Well, it was actually part of my military career. I'm a retired Marine reservist, and early in my career, in the early 1990s, I was involved in a military operation that supported border patrol enforcement in the southwestern United States, and that was a very eye-opening experience. And then at the end of my career, just before I retired, after my tour in Iraq, my following deployment was to Colombia, and I was an operations and training advisor to the Colombian Marine Corps, which is involved directly in what we call CNT operations, counter-narco-terrorism operations. So didn't have a long tour down there, but had a very rewarding tour. Saw a lot with my own eyes that you'll never read about in a magazine or a book, and certainly enjoyed working with the Colombian Marines and seeing what they were up against, what's called the FARC, F-A-R-C, which is a paramilitary organization that is now pretty much for what used to be the Colombian cartels, and are involved in producing and transshipment of cocaine out of Colombia all over the world.
Ed, a number of years ago, you sent some things to me. I don't know if you remember this. You probably do, but you sent some things to me to help me understand what was going on down in Colombia, and it really was eye-opening to me and caused me to pray intently and intensely for you and for all the others that are doing that type of work. And again, I appreciate you so much, what you've done, not only for our country serving in the military, what you do in law enforcement, but also what you've done to try to stop the flow of drugs over our southern border. Let me ask you a question, Ed, and this is becoming a major, major issue in the upcoming presidential campaign. Donald Trump made some statements about Mexico sending their worst across the border and into this country. I want to ask you actually two questions. In your professional opinion, what percentage of those coming across the border are doing so because of drug-related activities? And then number two, are we seeing, and was Donald Trump right when he said Mexico is sending a criminal element into this country? He took intense criticism for that, but was he right in his assessment?
Too much of what Donald Trump says are just sound bites, you know, good sounding sound bites that touch a nerve about important issues that people are discussing. And I'm afraid that too often they're not really close to being accurate. As far as the percentage of the cross-border illegal alien flow, I could only guess at a percentage, but you can be sure that a large percentage, if not half, more than half, of all the influx of illegal aliens stems from the illegal drug trade. People who don't have experience in law enforcement or in the prosecution of drug cases simply could not fully grasp how much violence and how much pain and destruction revolves around the drug trade. Homicides, robberies, auto thefts, illegal arms sales, it just goes on and on and on. It all revolves around illicit drugs, and especially the harder drugs, cocaine, heroin. Here in the United States, locally produced methamphetamines just produce untold numbers of victims and pain and death and destruction, and ruin people's lives in ways that cannot be underestimated. And, you know, talking about the political arena, I so appreciated what Governor John Kasich said in the debate about how he accepted resources back into the state of Ohio to help drug addicted people, many of whom were in jail, to get them treated for their addictions so that they could get out of jail and hopefully get on with a productive life and not be a drain on public resources. And there's just so much that stemmed off of it, Brother Dan. It's incredible.
You know, one of the things he said, and he gave this phenomenal statistic about how much it costs to keep one incarcerated individual in prison, and it was 20-some thousand dollars, I think he mentioned. And then he cited examples of how what he's attempting to do can rehabilitate these folks, get them back out into society, being a productive member of society, which I thought was outstanding as well. Let me ask you this, Ed, and I know our time is drawing to a close here, but it's obvious that the Obama administration has done nothing and appears to be unwilling to do anything substantive at all to protect our southern border. Looking forward to 2016, what must be done, in your opinion? You've been down into South America. You've seen the ramifications. You just described some of it, of all of this, just the drug element, not even talking about the terrorist element and those entities that may be flooding across our southern border. What must be done by the next administration to protect our borders and to ensure, whether it's the drug element or terrorist element, that our country is protected from both of these entities?
Well, the actions of the Obama administration have to be completely reversed. You've got to take the politics out of the border control, out of the border patrol, out of ICE, and let them do their jobs. I think there's all kinds of reports and documentation that border patrol people are basically being told not to do their jobs, releasing illegal aliens. I mean, every day the news reports another illegal criminal alien who's murdered an American citizen, who's been arrested numbers of times, been deported multiple times, and yet they get released again because the current administration puts pressure on police and local and state law enforcement not to hold on to them or refuses to cooperate in incarcerating them or deporting them. People need to get out and vote next year and demand that our government does its job, which this primary function is to protect our homeland and to protect our citizens. And you've got to get the politics out of law enforcement. It's the politicization of law enforcement, both local, state, and federal, is a cancer that has to be cut out completely at its roots. And you've got to let our fine young men and women involved in Border Patrol, involved in Immigration and Customs, involved in local and state law enforcement, in the DEA and so on, to do their jobs without their hands tied behind their back, without having to worry about being sued at the drop of a hat, their salary taken away, their pensions taken away, their ability to support their families taken away. And that's the first place that the left-leaning media goes to.
Let me jump in here just a second. We're very rapidly running out of time, Ed. I want to ask you, of course, you are involved with law enforcement. What percentage of the issues that you deal with in law enforcement really is drug-related or tied into those who may be coming across the border? We have less than a minute left.
As I stated earlier, an incredible, probably immeasurable amount of violent crime spins off of the illegal drug trade, okay? Whether it be robbery, auto thefts, burglaries to homes, even petty thefts, even burglaries to vehicles where a thug breaks a window and steals a purse. They do it to get money to support their drug habit.
So it's a very high percentage. And, this is the reason why we need to protect the border, and we need the President of the United States who is strong on protecting the border, not just talking about things that don't work. Ed Stevens, thank you very much for being with us today. We are out of time for this segment. Maybe we'll have you back sometime in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to Stand in the Gap Today. We will be back with more right after this. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
When Isaac took on the family business, it was his shot at redemption. He'd failed in school, but this was his second chance. So what happened? He failed again. But Isaac's story doesn't stop there. His uncle helped him get a college education, where he did well. How well? Fast forward to his full name, Isaac Newton, perhaps the greatest and most influential scientist who ever lived. You probably know him from his theory of gravity. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge with another respected theory. This one is about failure. You don't have to get thunked by a falling object to know that failure can say more about the work than the worker in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Once all the experts, political pundits, and philosophers declare their best advice for life, confusion and disagreement will still remain. On the other hand, King Solomon, the wisest man, shared advice that, if heeded, would provide direction and certainty. It would change the world. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man. Because God will bring every action into divine review with every secret thing, and he will determine whether it was good or evil." That's right. Every deed, every action, and every thought, public or private, is being recorded by God Almighty, the great judge of all mankind. Everything, nothing hidden, nothing covered, nothing secret. How much do you fear God and keep his commands? I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, whose advice are you heeding? Some human expert or God who will judge even the experts?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, it's a delight to have you there by the radio or the computer, however you may be listening. We encourage you to go to our radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. You can correspond with us there, and if you write us a note, why, we will be happy to respond to you as well. Well, David Kistler, it's been interesting, having with us Jim O'Brien talking about what's going on with Hillary Clinton and of course, Ed Stevens talking about what's going on out in Ferguson as well as at the border. And the interesting connector between all of these topics is, of course, the Department of Justice. And, the Department of Justice should really be a neutral operating department. But unfortunately, even as Ed reminded us, sometimes, politics get involved with that as well. But I want to talk a little bit about Hillary and the fact that she is turning her server over to one of the individuals, one of the inspectors in the Department of Justice. I kind of think that there is the possibility, Dave, and I'd be interested in seeing what you think about this. I kind of think that there is the potential that some kind of a deal has been made here. Keep in mind that the Department of Justice is Democratic, obviously. It's Democratic-led. The Attorney General is appointed there by the President of the United States, Barack Obama. And I think that by virtue of the fact that Hillary has turned over her server to the DOJ is probably going to give her a way out, more so than if she would have turned it over, for instance, to Trey Gowdy and what he would have done with it. In other words, I'm wondering if her actions in turning this server over to the DOJ isn't a way to protect her from more things being revealed that may come out if it was just, raw discussion with Trey Gowdy and his committee in Congress.
You know, Gary, you are one suspicious individual. I mean, do you think Hillary Clinton would do something like that? I mean, she might try to cover herself and cut a deal so that she avoids further prosecution. You think she would stoop to that level, Gary?
I know that's really thinking out of the, out of the circle, but it's thinking.
You know what, Gary? No, serious. What you're saying, Gary, may very well be the case, and that's a very astute observation on your part. You know, she's resisted this all of this time. She claimed there was nothing of a classified nature. Then she said there was nothing on involved in her email or on her server that was classified at the time. And now it comes out that evidently there is these top secret things that were on her server. So, yeah, if all of that is there, Gary, then she very well may have cut some kind of a deal with the DOJ. And this Department of Justice has proven repeatedly that they are not going to do anything about a Democratic candidate or anyone that agrees with them from a political standpoint. They're just not going to prosecute them. So what Jim said at the very outset needs to take place, and that is there needs to be an independent prosecutor appointed to look into this situation.
And again, we talked a little bit about Richard Nixon. You know what Richard Nixon did in comparison to what is going on in America today, particularly with Hillary Clinton? You know, it just doesn't even register on the Richter scale. At least Nixon had enough integrity to resign. I mean, we could talk about that until the cows come home as well. But, the best thing that Hillary could do would be to step down right now and just allow the process to go on, whatever that process would be. I would be very interested, however, Brother Dave, in hearing what Trey Gowdy has to say about all of this. As far as I know, he has been silent since Hillary turned over the server last night. I mean, maybe you know something that I don't know, but I'd be very interested in hearing what he has to say about it.
Well, Gary, I would too. And to my knowledge, he has not issued any kind of a statement. He's made no comments, to my knowledge now, about any of it. So I feel sure he's waiting to see what comes out of this. Gary, again, I've heard this described using different terminology. I've heard some people say she surrendered the server. She agreed to turn it over to the DOJ. But I've also heard this type of terminology used. And again, all of this is being done really out of the sight, so to speak, of the American American people. We don't know everything going on behind the scene. I've heard some people say that her server was actually confiscated by the FBI and the DOJ. So if that's the case, then she could be in for a heap of trouble, or it could be that she voluntarily turned it over and she did it because she's cut a deal. So hopefully the truth will come out as far as the process of how this has been turned over. But more importantly, hopefully the truth will come out as far as what she was doing with her own private server in her own home in Chappaqua, New York, which was a violation of the law.
Well, no doubt about it. But, you know, it just reminds me of how significant it is to have moral dignity and integrity in government. And that's why it's so very, very important, Dave, for us to be praying for this upcoming election. You know, we need people in office from the president down to the local dog catcher who follow good, solid moral law, who follow biblical principles, who follow the Constitution of the United States of America, because what we have, particularly in this administration, is corruption to the maximum. And we just need to pray that godly, law-abiding citizens get elected into office. It was interesting for me to know, Dave, that last night when Donald Trump was speaking, that he mentioned that his favorite book in the world is the Bible. Maybe we can pray that he reads it and something positive will come out of that. What do you think?
Well, you know, Gary, we can certainly pray to that end. And I think, Gary, it goes back to that 2 Samuel 23:3 passage. He that would rule over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And I can say with absolute clarity and absolute certainty, Hillary Clinton does not understand the biblical meaning of the term justice, and it appears as if she has absolutely no fear of God. She has no fear of the law. She has no fear of much of anything. And so, Gary, strictly on that basis, she is totally unqualified to be president of the United States. And by the way, let me issue one correction. Last night on Fox News, Trey Gowdy did actually make a statement. It was a somewhat generally worded statement, but he did respond to these most recent events relative to Hillary Clinton's email.
Okay. What did he say? Do you know?
Well, it was.
Well, for some reason, we lost Dave Kistler, and I don't know why, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, Gary, I'm back. I have just been trying to go through it here while we've been speaking, and it was just a general statement. He's waiting to see what comes out from the confiscation of those of that server.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say once he learns more about it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank you very much for being with us today on this Wednesday edition of Stand in the Gap. Coming to you from the American Pastors Network. We encourage you to go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and give us some feedback on the program. Correspond with us. We will do what we can to correspond back with you. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow. Our attorney, David New, will be with us from our Washington beat, and we've got some interesting subjects we'll be talking about with him. Until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, who is on assignment today, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.